And we've called it The Secret to Riches, Honor, and a Good Life. Should I just tell them what it is?
Yeah, go ahead, tell them.
All right, so that secret, it's
when you were talking about the youth, I was reminded some of them do want to be famous, and they do want to be exalted. It's funny because God's way of making that happen is not what you would think.
It says, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected. Concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck. They've shipwrecked their faith.
Yeah. Hello, 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 and welcome to the Purdue Podcast. I am Pastor Heather Purdue, and this is Pastor Aaron, and this is Real Talk and Kingdom Walk. And we are so glad that you're here with us today. We have a great topic to discuss with you, but before we get into that, why don't you go ahead and subscribe to this channel, like this episode, comment, let us know where you're from, what your name is, any prayer requests that you might have. And yeah, we want to hear from you. We want to connect with you. So, Pastor Aaron.
Yeah, and we're both pastors here at a church, Charis Christian Center. Yeah. So we encourage people to check out our website, CharisChristianCenter.com, mm-hmm. and you can live stream our services. And we actually have a lot of people come visit.
We do.
From time to time. We always have special events going on.
Yeah, but if you come visit, you need to come say hi to us.
Yeah.
And let us know that you are watching this podcast.
Yeah, even traveling out for a weekend or something, you know, we're pretty close to the Colorado Springs Airport and Denver, so it's very easy to get to and make it a fun trip out here. And Colorado is a destination place.
It is. It's very beautiful here.
Yeah, year round you can do things, a lot of fun things here. So today I'm actually really excited about today's topic. And we've called it The Secret to Riches, Honor, and a Good Life. And we're not even going to tell you the secret quite yet.
Yeah, don't.
Because
do that.
When we say that word, a lot of people wouldn't suspect what the secret is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I even have asked people, what do you think the secret is to those things? And they don't get it. You know, the average person wouldn't get it. But
they don't answer correctly the first time.
You know, we find just such incredible truth, you know, just deep truth in Scripture. And it's it really applies to everyone.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible is true. And the principles in the Bible work for anyone. You know, I've even seen, like, principles work for people who aren't Christians, or maybe they're opening up to it. But they do certain principles in Scripture, and they have the success.
Yeah, like they're tapping into it accidentally.
Yeah, but this is a huge secret, and it's not really talked about too much, not really preached about, not really explained very well.
Mm.
But I'd encourage you to listen to the entire thing. Once we see what that secret is, don't just turn it off.
Yeah.
Because some people, this word, it's just a turn-off kind of word. I know if we put it in the title, a lot of people just want to even click on and watch this. But this is so important. And should I just tell them what it is?
Yeah, go ahead, tell them.
All right, so that secret to riches, honor, and a good life, it's humility. And we're going to explain that, break it down. And I think, you know, don't turn it off. I think this is actually going to be one of the most beneficial conversations for you to be a part of. I think it could really help a lot of people really tap into what that abundant life that God has for them. You know, true riches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God wants to bless you so you can, you know, have a good life, but also so you can be a blessing to others. So, you know, the Bible talks about having an abundance unto every good work.
Yes.
Having all sufficiency. So when God makes you rich, it's different than the world making you rich, because his riches, he says he adds no sorrow to it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we are youth pastors. We teach young people, and a lot of young people ask them what their goals are, you know, when they're 12, 13, 14. A lot of them, they say they want to be rich and famous, and you know, God's way of being rich and famous is much different than the world's way.
Yeah.
Like, he gives you true riches, and even you, you're a true rich kind of thing, blessing to me. You know, I remember when we were dating, this is before we were dating, but I took this scripture and I put it up on my bathroom mirror, maybe a year or two before we met, but it's from Proverbs, and it says, houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. So, like, you can get houses, you can get an inheritance, you can get money, you can get these things as an inheritance, but certain things that God gives you that's
truly riches.
You can't pay for.
Yeah.
The Bible talks about that in Proverbs 31. Her worth is far above rubies. Mm-hmm. It can only come from God. So God, you know, wants to give you true riches, and humility is a huge part of true riches.
Yeah.
The humility is a huge part of finding a godly spouse.
Yeah. Or just being exalted.
Yeah. Humility is a huge part in growing in a godly marriage.
Yeah.
Too.
Well, I love that verse. And I don't know if we're going to.
We'll go to that verse.
Yeah. We are going to get to that verse. Yeah. But, you know, when you were talking about the youth, I was reminded of, you know, some of them do want to be famous, mm-hmm. and they do want to be exalted. Like, who doesn't want to be heard? Who doesn't want to be understood?
Have an impact.
And it's funny because God's way of making that happen is not what you would think. Mm-hmm. There's a secret to it.
Yeah, honor.
Yeah.
And true honor comes from God.
Yeah, it does. Yep.
True promotion comes from God. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's kind of an issue too. A lot of people in the world, it's very self-promoting.
Yeah, and there's a lot of work involved in that too. Mm-hmm. And God doesn't, you know, life is supposed to be fun and work is a blessing. We believe that work is a blessing. But there's a difference between being in that blessing flow of working and working hard labor mm-hmm. for something. And God mm-hmm. doesn't want us to be in that type of.
Yeah. So flow. Godly humility, and we'll explain it again. Stay connected. This is super, super awesome. But honor, that's God placing you in a position of value.
Yeah.
A position of impact. A position of really making a difference for him. Mm-hmm. That's true honor. And just, you know, worldly fame, it will leave you empty.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, with social media today, it's pretty amazing actually how fast random people can become pretty famous and have tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of followers, just very random people mm-hmm. doing random things. You showed me a video of a guy. I don't have TikTok. You look on TikTok for fun. I almost said Tic Tac. TikTok. But you showed me a video of a guy. He had his little plants in the shower and he was spraying the plants and like making
jungle noises.
Yeah. And he said, this is how he takes care of his plants. And
how
this
is how I give my plants a true jungle experience.
That had like 5 million views.
No.
Or was it more?
It had 43 million views. 43.1 million
with his little shower and his house plants.
Yes.
And who knows who that guy is?
And he just makes funny videos about his house plants. Which
but you
is
even
like
have
amazing.
Some people like from rural Tennessee that you've known in the past who now have, you know, tens of thousands of followers.
And but when you were saying that, it reminded me of this girl that when you're talking about how worldly, did you say fame?
Yeah.
How worldly fame is empty. Mm-hmm. So there was another girl that I followed on Instagram, and she was like a fitness guru type girl. Mm-hmm. And she had tons and tons of followers. Not only that, she had built like this small like empire, if you will, like a small business that really took off, and she owns a gym, and she's only like 20, like she's in her early 20s. Mm-hmm. So she is really thriving financially. Her fitness, you know, her health is thriving. But just recently, with all the crazy events that have happened in our nation, I think it made her take a step back. And she had even posted this video saying, you know, you guys see the outside and it looks like I'm doing really good. And she's like, I am, but you don't see the inside and how empty I feel. And so I'm just letting you know that I'm getting back to basics. I'm going to go back to church. I'm going to figure out what's missing in my life. And I thought that was really amazing because I'm seeing a lot of people, and I'm sure you have too. I'm sure you guys watching this, you've seen people lately, and they're like doing a hard reset on their life. They're mm-hmm. really evaluating, like, why do I feel so empty? Why do I feel like something's missing out? And this is why, because mm-hmm. we haven't humbled ourselves under the hand of the Lord.
Yeah, you know? And we'll share this whole verse where we find this principle. Mm-hmm. And it's true. Like, and I've known, you know, non-believers too who just have a very humble, mm-hmm. meek. You know, and it doesn't mean they're not confident, but they, we'll explain what, you know, biblical humility really is.
Yeah.
But they can really grow and achieve great things by having that type of attitude.
Yeah.
So we get this from this verse in Proverbs 22, verse 4. It says, "By humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Jesus came to give us an abundant life. But to receive it, you have to take steps of faith, and you have to have the right attitude as well. Faith is an attitude.
It is.
Humility
an attitude.
Is an attitude.
Yes, it is.
And the opposite of those things is an attitude.
Yeah.
And some people aren't really tapping into riches, honor, that good life, that abundant life, because certain attitudes that stop the flow of God's power in their life.
And they're consistent in those bad attitudes or wrong attitudes.
Yeah. So we'll talk, we're going to focus a lot on humility. So really pay attention to, as we break it down, it's going to help a lot of people. I think it'll help you financially. I think it'll help you with your career.
With your relationships.
With your relationships. Mm-hmm. With your, you know,
relationship
walk
with
God.
Yeah. Yeah.
But your relationship with your spouse, mm-hmm. your kids, your friends, and it all stems from relationship with God. I think that's why it's also said the fear of the Lord, because that's talking about your attitude towards God.
Mm-hmm.
And the fear of the Lord, that doesn't mean to be afraid of.
No, it doesn't.
To try to run away and hide from it. It's talking about, you know, it's kind of an old English term, to fear. It means to have a reverence for.
Yeah, in the Amplified version of this verse, it says, "The reward of humility and the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life."
Mm-hmm. And
so it's worship.
When I hear great people explain the fear of the Lord, they contrast it to the fear of man.
Yeah.
And even our 11-year-old son got that.
We
asked him, "Hey, what does it mean to have the fear of the Lord?" And he said it means to not have the fear of man, to care what people think.
To care what God thinks.
He explained it perfectly. He said, "You got to care about what God thinks mm-hmm. more than what people think."
Yeah.
And that's so true.
Yeah.
And I'm glad he's latching on to that. You know, we talked about humility being an attitude,
mm-hmm.
and the opposite attitude of humility would be pride. Mm-hmm. And the world kind of exalts pride.
Yeah, it does.
And it's good to be confident. It's good to be thankful. It's good to be grateful. It's good to take, you know, be thankful for the person that God made you to be. And I know there's different cultures and different, I think it's good to be thankful for where you came from. You know, I know you're thankful that you came from the South and you have certain things you do as a Southern person. You cook mm-hmm. certain things. You know, we had people over to our house yesterday. Andrew Womack came over to our house yesterday for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool.
Yeah.
He's actually a very humble person.
Very.
Extremely so, like very down to earth.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we've met different people, you know, and he's a very genuine person, which
yeah,
I really appreciate.
Genuine.
But he really understands godly humility and the fear of the Lord as well. But he really focuses on grace and God's love for us, but he has this huge reverential worship.
Yeah.
For God. And he actually opened up yesterday too, during worship service at our church. He was here as a guest speaker. We did a hymn, "How Great Thou Art,"
mm-hmm.
and he got up and said, they actually played that at my dad's funeral when I was 12 years old, and he said, I remember thinking, like, if you're really that great, why did my dad die?
Yeah.
And he said, I had to make a decision that I'm either going to believe God, trust God, believe the word or not. And he said, I made that decision.
He had to believe and trust that God was good.
And that he's going to prove his goodness in his own life, his greatness in his
own
life.
Yeah.
And he actually would come out to Kit Carson when I was a kid growing up. Yeah, so I've known him a long time.
Mm-hmm.
My dad actually was filled with the Holy Spirit, knew he was called to be a pastor when he was just 14 years old going to Andrew Womack's Bible studies. So he's been a very influential person in my, my parents' life and my life. And I just love seeing that humility
mm-hmm.
that because he's been able to maintain.
Yeah, because that is humility to say, I'm not going to go by what I feel or what people have told me. I'm going to choose to go by what the word says.
I think he even said when his dad died, people told him, like, God needed him
more than you do.
And
like, what in the world? Who would say that?
I had some kind of screwed up theology about that.
Yeah.
And that's actually something he comes against really hard, is that,
yeah,
when God isn't the one that kills and steals and
destroys. Well, because he had to make that decision at that young age that completely altered the rest of his life. Mm-hmm. I mean, just think if he would have made the opposite choice mm-hmm. and believed that God wasn't good, mm-hmm. then where would he be? I don't know.
Yeah, probably. And humility and the fear of the Lord, you know, pride is like, you got the lens on yourself.
Yeah.
You're very self-focused, self-centered, just self.
And we all deal with that to a degree every single day.
Yeah.
We all deal with that to a degree. So we're going to help.
Turn the telescope around.
Yeah.
And put the focus on God, you know, how great thou art. Mm-hmm. It's about you.
Yeah.
That's so, yeah, I want to talk about pride for a little bit and that attitude.
Go for it.
So pride, to me, what flows out of that attitude is someone who thinks they're always right and can never be wrong.
Yeah.
Someone who can never apologize, just they are always right. Really, they're kind of their own God almost. Mm-hmm. And if you think about the original sin.
Yeah.
And I'm not usually when we say original sin, we're talking about what happened in the Garden of Eden, but this goes back before that, the original, the OG.
Sinner. The OG rebellious, prideful being was?
Lucifer.
Yeah.
In heaven. This is before mankind was created, but Lucifer was one of the archangels. Mm-hmm. Many people know the story, but some people might not know it.
Yeah.
Because it's not preached about a whole lot.
Yeah, you can assume.
But Lucifer was an archangel in heaven. There's other archangels. Michael, the archangel of war. Gabriel is an archangel, messenger angel. But Lucifer was the archangel of worship, of music. And he got caught up in pride. Mm-hmm. And he wanted, you know, why should just God get the worship? You know, I'm pretty awesome myself. Why don't people
worship me?
Worship me. Mm-hmm. Make it about
me. What about
me? And he actually was able to convince a certain host of heaven.
Like a third of the angels, right?
Yeah. There's some like debate, scholarly debate
about it. But
I mean, there's legions of demons that were in people that
got cast out.
Mm-hmm. Cast out into swine, you know, hundreds of swine. And
that's a lot.
Ran off a cliff. So that there's
plenty.
Plenty of demons out there.
Yeah.
But that all started with pride. Mm-hmm. And when I see people screw up and get off track, and pride's usually the root of it.
Yeah, every single time.
And this complete, you know, I'm always right. I can never be wrong. Mm-hmm. I don't need to ever repent.
Yeah.
Ever shift direction slightly. That's a terrible
path to go down.
And we'll talk about that. Yeah, I've talked to my dad about this, but really, I feel like repentance is a huge thing, but there's mm-hmm. kind of two primary types of repentance. There's a repentance unto salvation. Repentance says, you know, I'm a sinner. Mm-hmm. I am not perfect. I'm not good enough. I need Jesus. And that's the first primary repentance unto salvation, but there's a daily repentance of the believer, like where you daily take up your cross and follow him.
Yeah.
Where you lay down pride, you lay down.
That's the true test, really.
And you're letting the Holy Spirit teach you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And say, hey, don't be so harsh. Don't be so critical. Don't, mm-hmm. you know, you're letting the Holy Spirit really teach you and guide you. And if you shut that, pride will shut that off.
Yeah.
And for the believer, the Holy Spirit, Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us as sons and daughters.
Yeah.
Like, we have that voice. You know, he's the chief shepherd, and we hear his voice. And his voice, the Holy Spirit, his voice is a teaching voice. You know, when Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, some key names for the Holy Spirit was Comforter. Mm-hmm. You know, some people think the Holy Spirit's the one that just
convicts you
yeah. and guilts you. And the Holy Spirit convicts the non-believer mm-hmm. of their need of a Savior. But the Holy Spirit for a believer actually convicts you of your righteousness, mm-hmm. of your place in the family.
Yeah.
Hey, you don't need to act like this.
Yeah.
Don't act like an orphan because you're part of the family. You're a son, you're a daughter.
Yeah.
So it's like an open arms mm-hmm. type of leading and guiding. So Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the comforter, helper, and teacher. And you don't want to shut off the flow of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And you have to be teachable.
Yeah.
Humility to me means being teachable. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we both grew up in different places. I grew up in rural Colorado and then Colorado Springs. I got into classical music. You grew up in rural Tennessee, eventually got into hair. You had to go to hair school.
Yeah.
And something that made you successful in that field, you know, you had your own salon, was that you didn't just go to school for a few years and that's the end of your education.
Right.
Because, like, hairstyles are constantly changing.
Yeah.
The way people want their hair cut and colored mm-hmm. and styled, it's constantly changing. So you can't just keep doing 90s yeah. haircuts. You know, some women still want that, probably. Like, give me...
Well, the 90s are coming back.
They are.
So...
But to succeed, you have to be teachable.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, for me in classical music... You know,
there's
playing
nothing
stuff that's...
more. There's nothing more irritating, and I know some women are watching this, than going to get your hair done and you telling your hairdresser what you want, and then your hairdresser says to you, "You're not going to like that." Don't tell me what I'm not going to like and what I'm going to like.
Yeah,
like I'm paying you. You're going to hopefully do what I'm asking you to do to my hair. Mm-hmm. But like I feel that's such a great picture to paint for like the believer with the Lord because the Lord is, you know, always trying to teach us, always trying to show us, and we don't always know what he's trying to do. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So humility, if you want to hear God's voice, and a lot of people say, I have a hard time hearing God's voice. I remember, you know, doing a survey once at church.
A lot of people don't know that they can hear God.
Who thinks they can hear God's voice?
And yeah.
It's less than half,
yeah.
usually. You know, probably for most believers, I'd say it's even like a fourth of them.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Think they can actually hear God's voice. But you have to have that humble attitude, that teachable. And if
it's
you're not teachable,
still small voice.
Yeah. So I kind of want to talk about that, just being teachable. You know, I mentioned that you did hair. I went to school for classical music. My very first teacher in college, she was a very famous flute teacher. She actually taught at Juilliard for many years, but she said she had students that came in as freshmen, just phenomenal players, but by the time they left 4 years later, they weren't any better. Mm-hmm. They just stayed exactly the same.
That's awful.
So they, you know, $250,000 education and...
For nothing. Wow.
And... She says it's because they weren't teachable. Mm-hmm. They thought they knew everything already and they were at a high level, but, you know.
They capped themselves.
Yeah. And humility is what keeps you going to that next level, too.
Mm-hmm.
Something, you know, we mentioned Andrew Womack being at our house. And I remember a year or two ago, he came over and you make a lot of food. And he said, well, I'm not going to eat too much because God told me I'm a glutton. And I thought that was so frank and blunt, and that's kind of how he communicates. But he doesn't just communicate very bluntly to other people. You know, God speaks that way sometimes, and he just was like, you know, I'm going to have half a piece of pie because God told me I'm a glutton.
Yeah,
it's like, that's a very humble thing to receive from God, but even very humble to communicate to other people.
Yeah. To admit that you're a glutton. Yeah. I think that God definitely talks to us how we're used to communicating mm-hmm. with other people, and he knows how we're going to hear him mm-hmm. well. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and some people he can be very blunt.
I feel like he's blunt with me about some things.
Yeah,
but I'm okay with that. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah. And he might sugarcoat some things
for you.
For me, yeah. I need more sugarcoating.
Oh my gosh.
So humility. Really? If you want God's power in your life, humility is the key, you know, and I was thinking about grace, you know, this church, Charis Christian Center, a lot of people have a hard time pronouncing it. I tell people, hey, you should come to my church.
Is it Charis?
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 Charis. Charis is a huge word in the New Testament. It's the Greek word for grace. Mm. And I like this definition by a great Bible scholar.
Is it you?
Yeah, it's me.
Oh my gosh.
So this is how I define grace, but it's God's power and ability to help you do what he has called you to do.
Yeah.
That's really key too. Sometimes people want to do other things that he hasn't really called you to do.
Yeah.
And you're kind of stepping out on your own. You're not really stepping
into
that.
Out of grace.
Yeah. So grace, it's his power, his ability to help you do what he has called you to do. Mm-hmm. And there's a direct correlation between grace and humility. With humility, there is a flow of grace, a flow of God's power, a flow of his ability, and also that direction, that go in the direction where he wants you to, where you know what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
What you're called to do. We're just going to go at it.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I love James talks about this in the New Testament, and so does 1 Peter, but God resists the proud,
yeah,
but gives grace to the humble. That's very blunt.
Okay, you could say gives power to the humble,
mm-hmm,
gives ability to the humble.
Yeah.
Like all the definition that you just said of grace. A lot of times when we're looking for direction or wisdom or perseverance or, you know, anything we need from God to get through that thing that we're trying to get through, it's tapped into by humility.
Yeah.
That's amazing to think about.
Yeah. I'm gonna go here to 1 Peter 5, and this is so huge. I'm going to start in the first verse.
Go ahead.
I actually like the first few verses that kind of lead up to this, but here in 1 Peter 5, he's speaking to the elders who are among you. So elders are pastors, leaders in the church body. So he says, the elders who are among you, I exhort. It's so important to just build up your pastor.
Yeah.
And I love that Peter's trying to build up pastors. You should, you know, if you go to a local church, you should really try to exhort, encourage, build up your pastor.
Yeah.
He says, I'm a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you. And the word pastor, it's the Latin word for shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
So we're to be shepherds. He says, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. So he's talking a lot about your attitude. You know, if you're going to serve in a leadership role, it shouldn't be like because someone's holding a gun to your
shouldn't
head
be strong
twisting your arm.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should have a heart to do it,
yeah,
and have an eagerness to do it. And also, you know, not as trying to be lords over those entrusted to you. So it's not, you know, if you're going to be in a high position of ministry, it's ministry means to serve someone.
Yes.
So it doesn't mean to be like, I'm the boss and look at all these people who show up and listen to me and that I,
mm-hmm,
it's, you're really there. Like you're actually helping someone out from our church today. You're always serving people, you know, serving our head pastors, my parents, you're always helping me.
Yeah.
You help me tons with everything. Helping our family, but there's a family that helps a lot at our church with our youth ministry, and the mom, you can tell them what happened.
Well, the daughter cut the mom's hair. So
she's sleeping? Or
I don't know. I don't know what she was doing, but somehow her daughter got a hold of some scissors and cut her hair. So
and the girl's like three,
yeah,
probably.
I think she's three. And so I'm gonna
and her husband's
her
gone
I'm,
for a couple weeks.
Yeah, and her hairdresser is
booked up for a month.
Yeah, so she needs a little help.
So, but you're she's just coming over to our house.
Yeah, we're going to fix it.
You know, she can't go anywhere with her three children, you know, out in the public.
She can come
while
to
her
my
hair
house,
gets
though
done. Yeah. So you're really, you know, serving people who are here. It says be examples to the flock.
Yeah.
That's really awesome. Be examples to the flock. You know, I get to take up offering at church, which is a big honor and a huge responsibility, actually, like giving.
It is, yeah.
And encouraging people to give and teaching about that. It's not, and a lot of people abuse that. But I know, like, I have to constantly check my own heart and, like, hey, I need to, if I want people to give a big offering, I need to do it myself.
Occasionally,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so be examples to the flock. And it says, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. And this is really cool here. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. This is great. I want every single person to latch into this. I want young people, old people. We've kind of talked about how just different the different generations are.
Mm-hmm.
And our church here is very multi-generational.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate. It's not always easy. It's not always easy. Because each generation is so different, and the rapid development of technology has kind of contributed to that. Why the, you know, from boomers to mm-hmm. millennial, Gen Alpha,
yeah,
Gen X, Gen, just they're all very different.
Mm-hmm.
But it says here in verse 5, it says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. So it's saying, hey, in this church, there should be older people and younger people. And there should be this attitude of submission. Mm-hmm. That means it doesn't always have to be my way.
Right.
And we actually explain this to the students at church, who a lot are like Gen Alpha. And they have their own language, too.
They do have their own language.
Yeah. And sometimes I submit to their language. I try to learn what they're saying.
They cringe a lot.
They cringe a lot. But but to submit means it's not always about you getting your way. So this is a very sharp contrast between like God's kingdom and the kingdom of the world. In the world, it's about the consumer. What does the consumer want? And the customer is always right. You know, my youngest brother, Peter, he's the COO of Burger King, like number two of all of Burger King. And their motto is, at BK, have it your way, you rule, which is the complete opposite of the kingdom of Jesus, which is you don't get to have it your way.
Yeah.
Jesus rules.
That's right.
So it needs to be his way.
Yeah.
So, and I kind of explain it to the students this way, that even though I'm the youth pastor, you're the youth pastor, they all have to listen, you know, we make them... We'll share 15, 20 minutes, and you got to put your phones away and pay attention. Mm-hmm. But the way we try to communicate to them is a way that they can understand.
Yeah.
You know, I'd love to go into the original Greek and Hebrew and do a whole hour-long teaching, but that would be more about what I want to do.
Yeah.
And not about what they can receive. And when we were talking about this, I just preached the Sunday before, and I asked them, you know, who here was in there for that message? And it was very different than the way I preached to the youth. Mm-hmm. You know, first of all, in Main Sanctuary, I had a sport coat, I had a tie, I looked really sharp. With the students, I just have a hat and a t-shirt, and because I'm submitting to who I'm ministering to.
Yeah, this reminds me of we at church, we use this software called Monday.com. And under each event, or we'll just use an event for example, we have a task in the event. And then within that task, if you click on it, we have what you call subtasks. And those subtasks they remind me of what submission looks like. Like we have an overall mission for the church, but within that we have subtasks, but mm-hmm. They all submit under the main goal. Mm-hmm. And that's like, and they're important, right? Mm-hmm. You have to have them to function. And we all have these things that we're responsible for and the things that God has called us to do, but we're all to do like this scripture says, submit
to one another. Yeah.
Submit to one another. Uh-huh. And not supersede one another.
Yeah.
And it's not going to function. The body of Christ is not going to function mm-hmm. without this mm-hmm. one key.
Yeah.
You know?
And I kind of explained it to them this way too. Like I actually oversee the worship ministry as well.
Yeah.
And I try to follow this. Like I'm not overseeing as a Lord, but I'm actually trying to empower mm-hmm. the church, empower the musicians, empower the worship leaders, empower them to really, really do the best they can do, but really exalt Jesus.
Yes.
And I'm just there to give some direction. I'm not there to just have it my way. Mm-hmm. And again, I told them if we had it my way, I love classical music. I love Bach. I love Brahms. They all wrote very beautiful sacred music.
Yeah.
To me, that's the highest form of art.
Yeah.
Like the Brahms Requiem. I've probably listened to that more than I've listened to a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be really cool to have a full orchestra and choir here and sing, you know, the Brahms Requiem. It's all scripture, all in German. It's incredibly beautiful. But I know it's not about me and my tastes and my styles and my desires. It's about...
And a lot of people wouldn't understand that.
Yeah.
And again, that's key too. Like you have to submit yourself to where people will understand. Mm-hmm. Like you were talking about with the youth and...
Mm-hmm. And even we have worship for the youth too. And it's actually a really important thing to teach youth and teenagers to understand and tap into that worship towards Jesus.
Yeah.
So you have to have that attitude of submission, and it flows with humility. So he says, you know, all of you be submissive to one another, 1 Peter 5:5, and be clothed with humility. Mm-hmm. So it's something you have to put on.
Mm-hmm. Every day.
It's not just like, you know, it's part of the fruit of the Spirit, mm-hmm. meekness, humility, but it's something you have to put on as well. You have to put on Christ.
Yeah.
And don't put on pride. Mm-hmm. Pride's probably just your natural state if you're not putting on humility.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
So, and this is huge here. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
Yeah.
So again, if you want God's ability, God's power to do what he's called you to do, you have to be teachable. You have to be humble. You have to have that attitude. You have to be able to work with other people too.
Yeah.
You know, for God, for you to do what God's called you to do, it's going to involve other people.
Period.
Yeah. And you're going to have to submit sometimes when it's difficult.
Yeah.
You might have to submit to your spouse. On both ends,
yeah.
You know, you might have to even submit to your children. Not too much. The children don't call the shots, but every now and then you have to flow with what they're able to do and
what they can handle.
What they can handle, mm-hmm. and figure out how they learn and grow and meet them where they're at.
Yeah,
and not just be like, well, this is how I'm going to do it. This is what I'm going to make you do. This mm-hmm. is how what I did, and like that's a very prideful type attitude.
Yeah. I need a lot of help from God, and I don't need him to resist me in any type of way. And I don't feel like he, when I read this, I don't feel like God resists the proud because he's mad at them. Mm-hmm. I think that he truly wants to help all of us, but I feel like this is his call to us to say, you know, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to get grace to you, but I need you to quit doing it yourself.
Yeah.
And I need you to listen to me and do what I tell you to do, mm-hmm. you know?
I like thinking of it like as a flow of grace.
Yeah.
Like a like an electric current or, yeah. you know, a water pathway. It's a flow. And pride will
shut it off.
Mm-hmm. It'll shut off that flow. And he says, he kind of gives us some clues on how to do this because it's not an easy thing to do. And I think that's why there aren't a lot of people really tapping into that God's riches, God's honor, God's good life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad for everyone who's really staying latched into this teaching because it's going to get even better here in a second. So he says in verse 6, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. It all comes down to a relationship with God.
Yeah.
And it says that he may exalt you in due time. So he's the one that brings promotion. He's the one that brings honor.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that's going to do it. And it says to cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So when you're wronged, when you're hurt, when you're not recognized, when you feel like you've been devalued, just give it to Jesus.
Yeah.
And he's told me the same thing too. And I've been hurt and rejected and betrayed and backstabbed and
all the things.
He says, hey, Aaron, look at me on the cross.
Yeah.
Think about how I felt.
Well, because when you hold on to that, when you hold on to unforgiveness, when you hold on to hurt, that's pride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's ultimately you saying you're going to handle it. You're going to take care of it. But
pride, yeah, and pride
that's
takes,
not what God
it
wants.
It takes different shapes and forms.
It does.
As well. Sometimes it's unforgiveness.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's judgmentalism, like a critical spirit.
Mm-hmm.
A religious insecurity. Spirit. A religious spirit is a demonic spirit.
Yeah, it is.
Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof.
Yeah.
From such turn away. Like, God's talking about that. Mm-hmm. How there's several different forms of godliness but denying the power of. So there's, like, the form that, you know, well, God's not really in the picture or the Holy Spirit, that power isn't there anymore. That's
yeah.
a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. But another form of godliness is, like, a religious spirit.
Yeah.
Like, look how godly, look how good I am, look how...
Which is pride.
But denies the power...
Yeah.
Of God to impact other people and to change other people, including yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So you got to cast these
all
cares,
care.
These issues, these hurts, all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And verse 8 is huge. A lot of people quote this verse on its own, but it's connected to this whole teaching, this whole thought process, this whole revelation on humility and that grace flow of humility.
Mm-hmm.
So here it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So in context, this is how the devil devours people.
Yeah, whom he may devour. That means that not everybody can be devoured.
But this is one of the primary ways that the devil devours people is with pride.
Yeah.
You know, sets out a trap with pride, a trap with offense, a trap with bitterness, a trap. You know, here's this big trap. And the thing about pride is, if you really take a big bite out of that and keep chewing on it, it affects the way you think.
Yeah.
You know, be sober. Mm-hmm. Pride will actually make your mind drunk. You won't be able to think straight. You won't be able to talk straight. You won't be able to walk straight. You'll get off track.
Yeah.
And not only that, and you know, I've never been drunk and drunk drive, but when you're driving drunk, you think you're going straight.
Yeah.
You know, why are these trees curving everywhere? Why are these cars on the wrong side of the road?
Yeah.
So pride, it distorts your perception of reality.
But it's not them, it's
where
you.
You think you're the one that's on the right side of the road, but and all these other cars and these hundreds of other cars coming at me, they're on the wrong side of the road.
Yeah.
That's what pride does to you. It makes you feel like you're the only one who is right, and these hundreds of people that I'm in constant conflict with, constant strife with, they're the ones that are always wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's that like victim mentality kind of thing too.
Yeah, it's just pride, man. Pride is the
root of all that stuff.
Yeah.
Be sober, be vigilant. And I like this too, verse 9, it says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Mm. That's really good.
Yeah, it feels like suffering sometimes.
I know.
It feels like suffering sometimes to lay down your pride.
That's another word that a lot of people wouldn't click on.
Oh, gosh. Suffering. I have more revelation about suffering since being a pastor than I have in my entire life.
And it's always like when there's breakthrough happening.
Yeah.
And about ready to happen.
Yeah.
It's when like someone gets sucked into pride and it's just like.
Or you get sucked into pride.
You get sucked into
or
it.
Because
the enemy can sense that anointing, sense that power happening.
Yeah, he knows. He's roaming around as a lion seeking whom he may devour. What part? You just read to verse.
Through verse 10.
But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you.
I love
that.
Isn't that really good?
I love that. You know, because lately it seems like we've just been through it lately. Mm-hmm. But it's fine. Yeah. I already know. Like, it's fine. It's just, I was just telling you earlier today that you don't grow muscles by never working out. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of things in our life that...
What did you texted me something that was really good.
Yeah, you want me to read it?
Yeah.
I probably have it in my right.
Because I was just like, I just need a break from this workout or whatever. The strengthening.
Let me find it.
I think that's why Jesus would go into the wilderness every now and then.
100%.
He needed a break once in a while from just dealing with stuff.
Oh,
suffering with people and
no strength is built without a workout. And
what
you
did I
said,
say?
I feel like I've had a lot of workouts and need a little recovery period. And God, and I told you, God's expediting us, mm-hmm. expediting the process of our growth. Mm-hmm. And you know what? In life, you're going to have lots of tests, mm-hmm. lots of trials, but God is always wanting us to come through it. And he's always going to teach us and give us revelation, knowledge, not just for us, for the next time we're faced with a test, but because we are to minister to other people. And it doesn't matter if you're a pastor or in the fivefold ministry, you're an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher, an apostle, a prophet. It doesn't matter. We are all to be ministers to our brothers and sisters in Christ. So that's why it matters. You might be thinking, it doesn't matter if I pass this test. I'm just going to do what I want to do. It does matter because the devil is roaming around like a lion seeking whom he can steal and kill and destroy. Mm-hmm. And God, you know, back to that scripture, he wants to perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle us. I love that. That's peace.
That's something that's very uncommon in today's culture is to be settled.
To be settled. I just feel like there's like
a lot of unsettled.
You know,
with godliness and contentment, there's great gain.
Yeah.
And I think as people of faith, it's important to be believing for more and believing for increase and believing to reach more people and to grow, you know, in your relationships and your finances. But you have to be content and thankful at the same time.
Oh, yeah. That's something I'm working on. If you're lacking that, yeah. I'll just be honest. I'm just after peace in my life. Like, really, I just want to have peace more than I want to have anything else. Mm-hmm. To me, that is like the ultimate bar in my life is just to have a life of peace and have a life of joy. And humility is the secret to that.
Yeah, and if you feel like you always have to be right, you're not going to have peace.
No. God, it's exhausting being right.
Yeah.
I mean, like, attempting to be right.
Having
to be right. But it's God's will that we work through every single test. That's the reason why God says count it all joy. Mm-hmm. Because we are to recognize that these are just tests, and it does feel like suffering a little bit. Mm-hmm. Your flesh will cry out, oh my gosh, you know what? Well, you did this to me, and you said that to me, and you did this to me, and all the while God is just trying to tell you, just let it go.
Yeah.
Just let it go, because I want to perfect you. I want to establish you and strengthen you and settle you. To him be the glory.
Yeah.
He wants, that's how he's going to get glory. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of strife in this world. There's a lot of pride in this world. But really, humility is that peace, peace that we're missing.
We have about 15 minutes left. I actually want to give people three big keys.
Okay, give them the keys.
Three big keys on how to grow in humility.
Yeah.
How to put it on. How to do this.
Tell me.
Because again, I applaud everyone for sticking to the end.
Yeah.
Where I just tell you straight up how to flow in this, how to be clothed in humility. How to practically do it. And again, I don't think a lot of people are really flowing in this very strongly.
I don't know about you, but I'm like working on it all the time.
Yeah, me too.
It's like every day.
But this is how you can grow in humility. This is just practical three keys how to do it.
Okay.
Godly counsel.
Mm. Yeah.
So when you're making a big decision in life, such as where you're going to live, what you're going to do for work, who you're going to marry, you know, where you're going to go to church, if you're going to quit church, big decisions. And also if there's like conflict going on too, like sometimes there's a discrepancy, there's some kind of conflict, there's some type of offense that occurred, get godly counsel. I know sometimes when people are in a strife situation, they just go talk to the people that they want to back them up. They talk to the kind of...
It's going to like...
They're going to the unwise.
Confirm their
feelings.
Side.
Their feelings, their grievances. They're not really going to wise people to talk about the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's no recovery from that. There's no growing. There's no teachable. There's no... It doesn't lead down a good direction.
Mm-hmm.
So godly counsel. A person with godly humility will hear counsel. People who are humble, teachable, want to grow, want to succeed and do what's right in God's eyes, they'll seek wise and godly counsel.
Mm-hmm. I just heard... Pastor Lynn Crow, when she was at Flourish, she was talking about this. She actually, it was a great message about offense and forgiveness and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But she was even saying, sometimes you just need to go straight to God.
Mm.
Like sometimes you don't even need to talk to anybody about it because you know that you know when you just need to go to God about it.
Or you just kind of turn into a gossipy type thing.
Because people love us, right? Mm-hmm. So they're going to be on our side. And But sometimes that can just stir us up more.
Yeah.
But godly counsel is important. But some people feel like they don't have anybody to turn to. So they can turn to God. They can turn to the Holy Spirit if they don't have that person.
Turn to Scripture.
Yes, definitely turn to the Word.
Yeah, so and turning to God is huge too.
It is.
I remember I liked someone before you, and it was a very short term relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Like one, the first month was great, and then something kind of shifted, and I just said, God, you know, you need to make it really clear to me. I just went to God.
Yeah.
Like if this isn't the right
relationship,
right, you know, future Mrs. Reverend Dr. Purdue, just make it really clear.
You weren't a doctor
me.
Yet, I don't think.
No, I wasn't. I was just a master.
You were just a, anyway.
Anyways, but he did. He just made it. It just got worse and worse incredibly fast. And it was just, there's nothing. It was very.
Well, thank God you listened to God.
Yeah, and sometimes when you're caught up in those, like, the emotions of things, it's hard to.
Yeah.
But that's when you say, God, you just make it really clear to me.
Mm-hmm. And actually listen to him.
Yeah.
And actually do what he tells you to do. If he says, like, you need to get away from that relationship, you run away.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get into the thinking, well, I just have to settle for this person.
Yeah.
That's bad. Don't do that.
So second key. So that first key, how to grow in humility, counsel. Second key is to live with integrity. Several years ago, Jesse Duplantis was here at a church.
Oh, I see it now.
And after the service, we had a little meal for him, my parents, some other ministers here at the church. And some of these other ministers were a little bit younger in the ministry and really excited their ministries were doing good and they're mm-hmm. wanting to take off with their ministries. And they asked Jesse, who's been doing ministry a long time, very successful at it, they asked him, what's your number one piece of advice to us as ministers wanting to just grow in this? He said, don't sin. He like said it loud too.
Wow.
Because he's probably seen people just screw up pretty big in the integrity department. Mm-hmm. And the way you get off is with pride. Again, pride's kind of the root of everything, but integrity is a big deal. And, you know, Proverbs 20, verse 7 says, the righteous man walks in his integrity. So it's just your lifestyle.
Yeah.
And his children are blessed after him. Mm-hmm. It actually impacts. And that's so huge.
Yeah.
It's so,
huge. Your kids see what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah. So integrity is a huge thing. And this kind of ties into the third key is, but live with a good conscience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a believer, God will speak to you through your conscience.
Yeah.
He actually, you know, scripturally it talks about even non-believers, God can speak to them
mm-hmm.
through just the evidence that there's a creator, you know, through scientific reasoning and mm-hmm. just observation, you can see there's a creator. So God will speak to you through that, but he'll even speak through you through this moral compass.
Yeah.
And even, you know, people from different cultures, different backgrounds, different religions, like there is a lot of common similarities with this moral compass.
Mm-hmm.
Some people can push it away. You can actually,
like, sear your conscience.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad you thought of that.
I mean, I'm not a reverend doctor, but
I know it's probably,
I can be smart, you know, sometimes.
No, it's a seared conscience. Yeah. But having a good conscience and living from that.
Yeah.
And I want to read this from 1 Timothy 1, okay. 18 and 19. It says, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy. So this is Paul, an older person in the faith, encouraging Timothy, a younger person in the faith. It says, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience. Mm. So faith, mm-hmm. and grace and a good conscience and humility, it's all part of the same flow.
Yeah.
Having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck. They've shipwrecked their faith.
Yeah.
Just by.
Yeah. If you continually just go on and on and on and on and on and refuse to lay down your pride and refuse to walk in humility, mm-hmm. You're not making God love you less. You're actually pushing yourself away mm-hmm. from God. God's not moving, right?
Yeah.
He's always in the same spot, but it is us that we can choose to move closer or move far away.
Mm-hmm.
And when you, I know this because I've lived this lifestyle before. I have lived in a place of doing things my way over and over and over and over, and just, and I know from personal experience and from the Word of God that it does draw you away. Mm-hmm. But just don't do that. Just make a choice that today I'm going to choose not to live like this anymore. I'm going to choose to put down my pride and humble myself under the mighty hand of God so that He can exalt me in due time. Mm-hmm. In due time.
Yeah, and just rejecting that pride thing.
Yeah.
It's such a worldly...
There's a better way. Yeah.
I was, recently just looking at some of the messages that were spoken at Charlie Kirk's funeral service. Mm-hmm. And something that Tucker Carlson had said, and I'm not a hugely political person. I am more on the conservative side of things.
But you don't really keep up with it too much.
Not too much. But Tucker Carlson grew up, I think, Episcopalian or some kind of, but kind of went away from it. But just recently, in the past year or two, has been reading his Bible daily. Mm. And it's kind of neat hearing from new believers, new people who are really opening up to God and mm-hmm. faith in Jesus. But he had some really great insight. Sometimes it's really neat to hear people kind of outside of your circle too, what yeah. revelation they're getting.
Uh-huh.
But he said why so many people were opposed to Charlie Kirk and his voice was because he was calling them to repent.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to.
Yeah.
He's calling people to humble themselves.
Yeah. It makes people angry because you're pushing that pride button, right?
Yeah, the pride.
Ooh.
Is that
That's
wild?
Like the self-detonate.
Yeah, and I watched quite a few of those, very,
talks
very.
Talks that
yeah,
were on there.
Yeah, pretty remarkable. But I always like hearing from really fresh believers mm-hmm. sometimes. Even in youth, it's really inspiring to see some of the students who are freshmen in the faith.
Yeah.
There's this one young girl, she's just 12, but she got healed of scoliosis, like radically healed, mm-hmm. instant, like amazing healing. And before that, she'd come to youth, her parents would bring her, but she's like, I'm an atheist, I don't really know what to believe. I think it's kind of coming from a place of hurt. But she got healed and just radically healed. But it's just really neat to see, and she helps mm-hmm. you on the student leadership team, but it's so sweet to see someone really new to it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we're going to see more and more of that as well.
Oh, we already are.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're seeing it right now.
Yeah.
It's happening.
It's a beautiful thing to see kind of occur too. Like just see salvation just happen in someone's heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the most beautiful things to see.
I'm about ready to cry. Oh no. Well, I think this is really going to help a lot of people. It's going to help me if it doesn't help anybody else.
Yeah.
This is something that I am literally working on. I heard somebody say that Michael Jordan was such a great basketball player because he says that he would always practice his weak areas. Mm-hmm. He knew that he was strong in certain areas, but he chose to practice in the weak areas, and he got better and better and better, and that's why. And I think that just rang true for me because we all know, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, we all know our little weak areas, but those are the areas that the Bible says when we are weak, He is strong. Mm-hmm. And when we lean into God, when we put our pride down, when we humble ourselves under Him, He will teach us and guide us because He wants to strengthen us and settle us. And He wants us to have a life of peace. And so this is an area that I know I'm not. This is a weak area, if I'm going to be really honest. But I'm getting stronger in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
And I'm learning. And God's helping me.
That's awesome.
And I believe He's going to help a lot of people watching this. Yeah?
That's cool. Well, thanks for staying tuned.
Thanks for sticking it out.
That was a great, I really enjoyed that topic, actually.
Yeah.
It was kind of neat delving into it. Humility. And it really is the secret.
It is the secret sauce.
And, from things I've observed in people's life, you have people who are very successful,
mm-hmm.
Very in tune with God mm-hmm. in their life, and they're successful in their job and their family and, their involvement at church and their walk with the Lord. They do really have that
coat of humility on.
Coat of humility, yeah, and can flow in that. And
yeah.
It's a very beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing. So.
Yeah. So thanks for tuning in today.
Yeah. Do you want to pray or do you want me to pray?
You can pray. You
okay.
Pray, yeah.
Lord, we just thank you so much for this word, God. We just thank you that Jesus came down and humbled himself. He humbled himself to the lowest point possible so that we could be exalted. And so we thank you, God, right now that you have honored us. You have put a crown of righteousness on us because we put our faith in you, Jesus. And so we just choose to lay down our pride. We choose to put on humility and to walk out this word that we were taught today. We just thank you so much for the power of the Holy Spirit that's helping us and leading us and guiding us. Lord, we just thank you for new eyes to be able to see the tests that come against us, that you are using these tests. You don't give us these tests to hurt us or harm us. You're not the author of the test, but you are the author. You're the finisher of the test, that you are strengthening us through these things, but you've given us the power and the grace to be able to walk it out so that we can be an effective witness for you, Jesus. And so right now, I just thank you, God, for all the good things that you have given us and all the good things that you continue to do for us, God. We just pray that this podcast and our lives exalt the name of Jesus, Lord. And we just thank you for this time together. And I just speak a blessing over everyone watching and listening to this. And I thank you, Lord, that you're just a good God. You're an amazing God. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I want to let people know, too, before we just close out,
okay,
that these teachings that, I mean, a lot of them are actually teachings that we've done for our student ministry here.
Mm-hmm.
But we actually have on our church website, CharisChristianCenter.com, you can actually go and for free download our youth curriculum.
That's, you should.
Teachings that we've developed. And I think they'd work, you know, especially if you're a youth leader or a youth pastor, you can use those teachings. But I think they'd work great for, you know,
like
family Bible studies,
uh-huh,
or a group Bible study.
Or if you're a homeschool parent.
Homeschool parents,
yeah.
Young adult, just get-togethers. And the way we structure it, we have, you know, the main points and teachings and scriptures, but also we have discussion questions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we do with our youth ministry. We actually, after we teach, we break off into different groups and discuss it. And I think I like this format because we're just kind of having a conversation and discussing.
Mm-hmm.
We're having like a small group here and with you.
Yeah.
And trying to get you to really digest and think about these things. But
yeah,
that's actually a free download on our website.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a free kids curriculum too that my dad actually helped develop. And
For free.
For free.
All for free.
And on our website too, you can access all of our videos of other teachings.
Uh-huh.
And it's really laid out on YouTube. I know if you go to the playlist, you can see just
different topics.
40, 50 different series, different
yeah.
topics where we, you know, Pastor Lawson and often myself go
or Pastor
in depth.
Barbara.
Yeah, in depth on really mm-hmm. awesome things that a lot of places don't really
Yeah, you
into.
Should tap into that. It's really good material.
Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us. And yeah, feel free to go to our website to find more information. Also, if you want to give to this ministry too, help mm-hmm. the podcast keep going. Someone asked me, Aaron Skaggs, one of our worship leaders, asked me, like, who's paying? Like, how much are you guys paying to do that? Because it's expensive to put on a podcast. I said, well, the truth is,
I don't even know.
Doing it.
Yeah, the church is doing it.
We're trying
just
to
another branch
connect
of the
people
church.
To the church, yeah.
Yes.
But if you want to help, you know, invest into this, it's not a cheap thing to do mm-hmm. with all the tech and time editing and
manpower.
You can, you know, just give right there on the website or give us a call as well, but thanks so much for joining us, and hope to see you again soon.